Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Well, the Crush Wednesday, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Hear from him later in the hour. Jeff Berman previews Maryland, Wisconsin, 11:30 from InsideMDSports.com. Got the whip around coming up at 11:15 as well. But the Ravens, open locker room today. And then it's going to be practice tomorrow. Coming up Monday night, darkness falls. They're going to be wearing all black, looks like, for the game against Detroit. Last time the Lions were here 2 years ago, it did not go well for them as the Ravens blew them out. The game was over by halftime for all intents and purposes. But now both teams 1-1 with disappointing losses on their schedule. Detroit gets housed by Green Bay. Ravens blow the big lead against Buffalo. Here to talk about Baltimore heading into this game. A couple of injuries of note. He's our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome in Cordell Woodland. Cordell, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
All right. Kyle Van Noy. We know he's, what, week to week. What's up with Marlon? Rasheen Ali got his bell rung on the opening kickoff against the Browns here, and I guess we'll concentrate on Van Noy mainly because the Ravens haven't exactly been putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback through the first 2 weeks, and one of their signature dudes, he's probably not going to roll. Where does the pass rush come from against Detroit? Because as we know, if Goff gets time to throw, he's got a lot of fancy toys to throw too.
Yeah, I mean, and look, that's a offensive line that can be really good at times. Now, they've had some changes over the last couple of years, so I think that's still a question mark that they're still trying to get answered as the year goes on. But yeah, I mean, it'll be by committee. I don't really think a lot changes, you know, with Van Noy going down. I think some of the guys in the interior, like Matt Abike, will be called on to maybe do a little more in that department, but I think that this forces them to lean on some of the young guys that they were going to have to find out about anyway. Owe coming off a double-digit sack year, what can he do to respond off of that in a contract year? I think one of the underlining bright spots could be that we see a little more from Tavius Robinson in those moments. And I just think Tavius, you know, he's not the guy that jumps out the screen to you on every play or even every game. But he does a lot of the dirty work, and I thought he had a really good game against Cleveland. Obviously, he was a part of that strip sack fumble that Roquan took to the house. So I think if you give him a little more run in that department, maybe he could surprise you and be a slightly better pass rusher than we thought. Mike Green, another guy that you thought that they need to find out about this year. So I think this kind of forces their hand to maybe rush that process a little quicker than they wanted to. No doubt Van Noy will be a loss, but I didn't expect Van Noy to have the impact that he has had the last couple of years. I thought that this would be a year where some of the other guys would have to step up anyway.
Yeah, the sad part was Van Noy was the best rusher by far against Cleveland, you know, I thought. Yeah, Mike Green just – his – you know, I mean, the thing that he does best, Cordell, and he hadn't shown it, he showed it in the preseason, his get off, and he's not getting off the ball to, you know, to give himself an advantage.
Yeah, and I think it's a little different. Things are so vanilla in the preseason, all the way probably down to the snap count. And so you're able to do that stuff a little more. You're able to kind of time the snap count from like down to down a little easier than you are in the regular season, where you have these vets, where you have a real offensive line out there, where you have real game planning going into these games. It's an adjustment, no doubt about it. So, yeah, I mean, that is the concerning thing, especially because I've talked a lot about Ania off the ball. That's still there for him. So I'm not giving Mike Green an excuse or a pass or anything like that, but no doubt, you know, for all of these rookies, it'll be a learning curve to start.
Hey, Cordell, when you're out there today for open locker room, and I bet you all the offensive linemen, you talk to the O linemen, that is probably the toughest defensive front that they're going to have to face, because most of the time they're facing 7 or 8 guys, you know, and they're all up the field guys. So it's not like they're lining up, you know, head up, but they're all up the field. They're always in the backfield. And they caused a lot of problems. Each guy had his own issues.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's kind of the threat that teams like Cleveland and Pittsburgh specifically pose to them. Not just because they're division teams, because obviously I left Cincinnati out of that, because they're not able to do the things that those two defenses can do. But they know each other so well, and they're built to maybe not, you know, completely stop the Ravens, but definitely slow them down. It's not going to be many defenses that you'll see this year that are able to make Derrick Henry look the way that he did.
Correct.
On Sunday. I mean, they didn't have any signature runs in that game. When's the last time we were able to say that about a Ravens offense, especially the last 2 years with Henry and really in the Lamar Jackson era, period? Like, you're good for at least one big pop run. They didn't even get that. So Cleveland was incredibly sound with their fundamentals, I think. And without a doubt, they sold out completely to stop the run. That's something that a team like Cleveland's not afraid to do. I don't think Pittsburgh's afraid to do it either. You know, that's just what they'll take their chances with forcing you to be one-dimensional. And Lamar, is as good as he is at this stage of his career, he can still beat you that way. But teams, you gotta take something away. And obviously, they're going to look to take the runaway first.
Hey, Cordell, like watching the All-22, I watch Buchanan like every snap. And I just think that I would say that Roquan probably likes him because he's just a football player, you know, and he knows where he's supposed to be. He understands the game. You saw one time on a boot, he comes up and then boom, he takes and runs back, gets in his lane, you know, in front of the receiver and stuff. He just understands ball.
He's a really smart guy. I mean, that's the thing that's been talked a lot about him, you know, him being an engineer, and he's got the brain power to go along with playing linebacker in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And, you know, linebackers, that one position, you got to have some sort of smart to play that position, because it's all read and react. Everything in front of you is so much going on, so much eyewash. You have to be able to kind of know where the ball's going and where they want to go on each play. And I think that's where Trenton Simpson struggles the most. He gets caught up in the wrong gap too many times, and he's not strong enough to recover. He's not strong enough to fight off those blocks and get back to the gap he needs to. Buchanan has the speed, the smarts, and the strength. I mean, he's short in stature, but that dude is built. I mean, he's a flat out tank. So he's stronger than he looks, and I do think he and Roquan play well off each other. But I just think his instincts to go along with, you know, his brain knowing where the play is going and trusting that and reacting. I mean, that's tough to get out of a rookie. I think right now he's playing free and he's playing like a guy that's got nothing to lose. I mean, you look at that spot right there. It's been a kind of a revolving door. You're him. Why not go out there and play free and not be afraid to make a mistake?
Yeah. Hey, Cordell, you know who showed up? You know, I mean, he didn't start or anything, but Keon Martin. I mean, almost every play he was out there, he's little, but he plays big. You know, I mean, on the fumble, he's sprinting down there, you know, on the pass out there. You know, I mean, he's making tackles. I think, you know, if Humphrey's out, he may get some more run just the way he played. Him and Tampa. I don't know if Alexander will play, but He's the type of guy that maybe on a Amon St. Brown, you know, with the change of direction and quickness, maybe that's, you know, some spot for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not a great position to be in, you know, having to guard maybe the best slot receiver in the NFL in St. Brown. And he's coming off a 3-touchdown game just last week. So if Marlon's not there, that is going to be a concern for me. Now, I did like what I saw from Keon Martin. He didn't look like the moment was too big for him. And, you know, I'm sure situation and everything played a part. But he didn't look like he didn't belong out there. That's the good thing to see. Now, this week, if Marlon can't go, they're going to have to get a little creative. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't even be opposed to this being a game where you see Hamilton heavily involved in the slot and down in the box anyway. When you talk about St. Brown on that side, you talk about LaPorta, you talk about Gibbs out of the backfield. I mean, there are more than enough threats on that Detroit offense from the short to intermediate game that will require Hamilton's attention. So I can't say that I feel overly confident with Keon Martin having to get a lot of run this week just because of the opponent. But no doubt, I think we could tell Keon Martin is a baller. He's going to look to make plays, but they'll have their hands full with this one if he does have to get extended run.
Cordell Woodland, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Cordell, last thing for you, Mark Andrews, 2 games in, not a lot of production, had the ball knocked out of his hands by Delpit. Some Ravens fans say it should have been a touchdown. Harbs talked about possibly reviewing it, et cetera, et cetera. But where's Andrews been when we thought he was going to have a monster start to the season based on the way his 2024 campaign ended?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough because I thought in Buffalo with the storyline and the obvious storylines and the low-hanging fruit, you know, you try to get him involved early and often because if there's anybody that wants to make some plays in that game, it's 89. So I was surprised with that. And then even this past week, I mean, you look at his career against Cleveland, he owns them. So I did think that there would be a pathway for him to be a big part of the game plan. He wasn't. I mean, I thought that was a touchdown catch, but again, I say this every year, I don't know what a catch is in the NFL anymore. I really don't. So I guess it wasn't. John said he was told definitively not to challenge that because they didn't think it was a catch. So whatever. But look, this is how last year started. You know, last year got off to an extremely slow start for Mark. Ironically enough, I think whenever likely comes back, that will help Mark in a sense. To help open him up in the middle of the field. I don't think he gets the separation that he used to get. He's not the contested catch guy that he used to be. That's not to say I don't think Mark can still contribute. He just led all tight ends and touchdowns last year. So I think he can still play. It just may take a little time for him to get involved right now. It's still very early in the season. It's still what I call the week-to-week period right now where teams' identities and focal points in their offenses can still change. So I still think Mark will be able to contribute heavily as the year goes on.
All right, Cordell, fresh take. When's the next one?
We'll be back Friday after BDT from 7 to 9. So we'll get everybody ready for the weekend filled with football, get you ready, get your fantasy lineups ready and everything. Talk a lot about the Terps going to Madison, Wisconsin, first real test on the road as well. And obviously, we'll talk a lot about the NFL slate and the Ravens plan on Monday night.
Cordell Woodland, appreciate the time as always. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Cordell.
Thanks, guys.
There's Cordell, everybody. We'll come back with a whip around, get you caught up on what happened in the world of sports last night, at least in our allotted time. And this day in Orioles history, you don't want to miss any of that. And then we got Jeff Berman, speaking of the Terps, at Wisconsin, getting 10.5. It's a game you can hear on the Fan. National TV, too. NBC coming at noon. Maryland's 3-0, looking to go 4-0. They've been 3-0 for the last 5 years. Can they add that fourth one to make Luke Fickell even more fickle with the Wisconsin fan?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Ravens taking on the Lions coming up on Monday night. We've got plenty of that coming your way as the Ravens get back to the practice field tomorrow. We just talked to Cordell. There'll be an open locker room, so we'll have some sound coming from one winning drive. But historically, Ravens 6-1. Against Detroit. Just want to let you know that one. And the last time they played 2 years ago here at M&T Bank Stadium, which was a cold late October day. Ravens went 38-6, and Detroit came in, and in memory serves, Nolan, I think I actually picked the Lions to win that game. And the Ravens pulled their pants down and spanked that hiney. Detroit wound up getting to the NFC Championship game that year, as did the Ravens against KC. So they'll renew acquaintances coming up here in a couple of days. Terps in a couple of days. They're taking on Wisconsin in Madison. Wisconsin now 10.5-point favorites in this ballgame. Maryland 3-0, Wisconsin 2-1. Last year, Wisconsin ended their season on a 5-game losing streak, which knocked them out of the bowl cycle, and they're coming off the loss at Alabama against the Crimson Tide. Maybe it was closer than the final score would have indicated, but this is a tall order for Maryland. Litman test game, and we'll talk about this in a couple of minutes with Jeff Ehrman. But if Maryland gets to a bowl game based on low expectations coming into the season, we got to commend somebody. Well, certainly Malik.
Well,
Washington here, and Mike Locksley for bringing him in.
Yeah, Malik for sure, probably, because he would be the one that leads. But we just need to see a win from a good team. You know what I mean? I mean, like, they always have a big, you know, like, they, let's say they beat Wisconsin, and then, was it Washington comes in, and then they get blown out, or, you know, I mean, that's...
Well, they've eked out wins on the road against, like, the Nebraskas from a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. But still, to go in here as big dogs.
Yep.
And if they can win that game, I think it's a feather in the cap for sure. And then you handle your business accordingly as the rest of the schedule plays out, which is not as difficult on paper as it's been in years gone by. But again, we'll talk to Jeff Ehrman about that here in a couple of minutes. It is the Whip Around, Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan. It is September the 17th. What? This day in Orioles history, 1983, Memorial Stadium. Birds beat the Brewers 5-4. Hold them off. Al Bumbry, 3-for-3, 3-run scored. Mike Flanagan goes 7 strong for his 12th win. Tippi Martinez, his 18th save. Orioles closing in on the AL East on their way to the Major League Baseball's crown jewel, the World Series Championship, 2012 in Seattle. Nate McLouth. I kind of thought Carlson was going to be McLouth like this year. Hadn't turned out. But anyway, he was 3-for-5 with a homer. Matt Wieters, he hit a home run, drove it 3 runs. Chris Tillman went 6 strong for his 8th win. Puppy Pants, 10-4 Birds over the Mariners. 2 years ago, Orioles in 11. Cedric Mullins, sack fly, scores Adley Rutschman, who tied it up in the 10th. Birds win in 11. Adley 3-for-5 with a homer, drove in 2. D.L. Hall got the win. Now hurt in Milwaukee. In this day in Ravens history, 2 years ago in Cincinnati, Lamar Jackson on his way to his second Most Valuable Player Award. 24 of 33, 237, 2 touchdowns, 1 to Nelson Aguilar, and 1 to Mark Andrews, who we just talked about, as the Ravens hold off the Bengals. The Ravens were up by over double digits since he got some window dressing scores, but 27-24 was the final score on this day there 2 years ago. We'll come back, talk Terps, with Jeff Ehrman. Not just football, a lot of recruiting buzz, no pun intended, with the men's basketball team. Then we'll say hi to Nolan McGraw. News from the Nets coming up at noon. We got our heroes of the week in the National Football League. We'll count some midweek money, hopefully. We'll buy or sell at 12:15. And then Jim Hunter. Talk some Orioles with him. Birds win the series in Chicago. Go for the sweep today as they take on the White Sox before they come home for their last homestand of the year with the Yankees.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomorrow from InsideMDSports.com on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back Jeff Ehrman. Jeff, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Good morning. What's up, Bob and Vinny?
Well, a little of this, a little of that. And we'll start with Malik Washington. What were your expectations for him going into the year? Because we talked about it. They were real vague or nebulous, fancy word, about Mike Locksley, who the starting quarterback was going to be in the opener. Well, it was Washington. What were your expectations for him going into the year and your thoughts on how he's performed through the first three games, getting ready for his first road test at the Badgers here?
Yeah, Bob, I mean, all offseason we heard that he was their best quarterback despite being a true freshman and was significantly ahead of the guys behind him. So I expected him to look good, you know, to expect him to look this good, this poised. Maybe not quite this, but as with everything, you know, that we discussed about this team this year, we still don't know what's real and what isn't just based on the competition so far. But, you know, what he's done has been phenomenal. You know, one of the best freshman quarterbacks in the country. And if he can keep it up heading into these Big Ten games, then I think you'll see kind of the national attention that Maryland really could use start to grow.
Shalik Knotts, we heard about him, of course, Jeff, when he was coming out of the high school ranks. He scored in all three games as Maryland, you know, they're not Ohio State in regards to the wide receiver factory, but their dudes go to the next level. But tell our listeners about Shalik Knotts and how he's finally getting an opportunity to maybe be the dude here in 2025.
He is a very unusual case in the transfer portal era. Usually if you have a guy like that who's a top 100 recruit overall roughly, which is kind of a stratosphere, Maryland doesn't, you know, pull players from all that often, and things don't work out for you in three whole years at the school, you're gone. You're probably gone before those 3 years are done. He stuck it out, though, after not really making a dent those first 3 years, and, you know, he's blossomed so far this season. He has a touchdown in all three games. He didn't have any touchdowns in his career coming into the season. I still think the receiver position is a little thin for them. You know, Jaleel Farouk, the Oklahoma transfer, was the biggest name coming into the season. Has been somewhat quiet. Dorian Fleming, tight end, has been really good. That was as advertised. But overall, you know, this is not a Maryland team that has those kind of receivers you mentioned that have been drafted to the league so often.
Hey, Jeff, what are you hearing about? Is it going to be O'Neal or Edwards for Wisconsin?
Well, Fickell said, you know, as you would expect day to day, I don't know. He did say Edwards warmed up for the last game. So, you know, just reading between the lines and the way he said things, I'm guessing that Billy is going to play and is going to start. But, you know, like as we know with Locks, coaches sometimes don't want to give that QB decision away till the last minute. So we'll see.
Jeff, the way, you know, I watched Wisconsin last week against Alabama. You know, I've seen some of them. And I think it's going to come down to, you know, their defense is going to be pretty good. The environment's going to be tough for Malik. Can the O-line hold up? If the O-line can hold up And they have, Maryland has some presence of a run game. You know, because if Malik's got to drop back and throw it 40 times in that crowd noise and stuff, I think that's going to be tough.
Yeah, you said it, Vinny. That's really the number one thing. They haven't been able to run the ball successfully against some really, you know, kind of lower level competition where you have bigger, stronger guys in the trenches and you should be able to bully them fairly consistently. And they haven't been able to do that so far. You know, last I looked, I think it was around 3.9 a carry. I haven't checked what the latest was, but they have to find a way to do that. Now, whether that's realistic, finding the way to do that on the road at Wisconsin after you didn't, you know, against FAU, Northern Illinois, and Towson is questionable, but, you know, the pass blocking has been really good. Rotrell Perry, the transfer from Central Connecticut, is number one rated in the country by PFF in pass blocking. But like you said, you know, Malik's going to need some support. He's going to need some there's going to be some situations where you don't want him passing and you need to calm him down a little bit, and you got to find a way to run the ball. But so far they haven't.
Yeah, well, it's going to be loud. It's going to be extremely loud. So that's what's really going to be interesting is, you know, how Malik handles it. Because I believe if O'Neal, watching O'Neal play for Wisconsin last week, you know, he turns it over a lot with pressure and stuff. And I can see that. I like the Terps defense. And if they can get after them pretty good, I think they'll be able to create some turnovers. What do you think?
I agree. I think Maryland has a real shot here. I know half the people listening will say, oh, yeah, sure, buddy, you haven't remembered last year and some other years where they started and looked amazing against some lesser competition and then, you know, fell off a cliff during Big Ten play. But, you know, I don't think Wisconsin's great this year, especially if they don't have Edwards. I think Maryland is more talented than people realize, even if some of the talent is new or young. And it's a motivated team. You know, they really desperately want to cut off some of this, you know, constant talk about how they don't beat any of the top half Big Ten teams.
Well, Wisconsin doesn't fall into that, but winning on the road at Madison certainly would be an accomplishment for them before Washington and Nebraska come here to College Park. Jeff Urban, InsideMDSports.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. You can hear the game on The Fan this weekend. Now, let's get to basketball real quick, recruiting in particular. I know Buzz Williams has had a lot of fancy names, a lot of four stars, five stars, coming through College Park, and I like this new thing. Actually, I don't, where they pose in Maryland jerseys and all their official visits, giving you the false hope. But how much is this recruiting hubbub real? How much is fake? And what Buzz about to do where to pop some newbies here looking ahead to what a 2026 class could be for the University of Maryland?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the action, it's definitely real. We don't know the outcome yet. So, you know, it's hard to say because, you know, Buzz Williams has cast a really wide net, whereas Kevin Willard just kind of was mostly waiting for portal season to come around. They've been very active. Obviously, the biggest name is Baba Olatunde, top 10 player nationally from Silver Spring, recently moved up from class of 27 to 26. He was on campus over the weekend. And, you know, I think there's some growing confidence there. But as with a lot of those really high-level recruitments, that one's going to take time. I don't think he's just going to abruptly commit anywhere. They've had a number of big men on campus. I think Adama Tambidu is a big man from Connecticut who I think they have a pretty good chance of wrapping up closely. And then another situation to watch is at guard, where they have two top 40 possibilities. Last week they hosted Caden House, son of former Celtics guard Eddie House. And then this weekend, Junior County, which is one of the cooler names I think I've heard in recruiting, will be...
I grew up in Junior County.
Junior County will be coming. He's a top 30 kid from Utah, number two shooting guard in the country. So, you know, if you get either one of those guys and still have a shot with Baba, I'd say that it's more real than hype.
Any chance for Obina Kesey's son legacying it up here to College Park, one of the bigger recruits as well?
Yeah, he's a little farther off because he's class of 2027, but I know they feel like they've gained some traction there. They've got to know the dad. Buzz Williams was out in California, I believe it was last week, to see him at his school. So they're not, you know, that's one thing with him. If he doesn't think he has any chance to get a player. He's not going to waste his time. But if he feels like they can win it with a guy like that, he's not going to back down just because it's, like in the case of Akizi, a top five recruit with offers from all the biggest name schools.
Jeff, what's happening at InsideMDSports.com here on this Woman Crush Wednesday?
Tons of football and recruiting and basketball and recruiting news and as we build up to this Wisconsin game this weekend. So hopefully it's an entertaining one.
Jeff, appreciate the time as always. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Jeff Ehrman, everybody. InsideMDSports.com. We'll come back, get reacquainted with Nolan McGraw, take a trip through the Funhouse. News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Buy or sell 12:15. Jim Hunter talks Orioles at 12:30. Birds, 11 games left. Eliminated from the playoffs. If you had to pick one reason why, other than their record, that they're not going to the postseason, what is it? The name that's missing, Yang Sabasayo, got it. Where's Mountie? Why no Mountie against a lefty? Are we seeing the writing on the wall with no Mountie? I mean, could something be wrong here? I mean, then again, how do you go to Kobe Mayo after he's, you know, hit two bombs in Toronto, at three hits last night, telling me he's not playing?
It is comforting that we're here. They were just mathematically eliminated last night, and we still have a reason to gripe about the daily lineup.
That's what we do.
That is comforting. We'll always have that.
Tyler Wells looking for win number two on the hill for the Orioles. 210 coming up, first pitch. Bird going for the sweep, and then Yankees coming to town for a big four-game series for them as they're trying to hold off the Red Sox for the top wild card in the American League, if not make a late run at Toronto, who's won six in a row. But Nolan, how are you feeling over there
today? I'm feeling good over here. You know, you posed the question earlier about blame for the Orioles season. How do we end up here? And I just have a hard time moving off of Mike Elias as the main source of that. Absolutely, it was a collection of errors, if you will. But he's kind of at the forefront for me. And as we move forward with what is going to be a very new front office, you're hiring a new GM. Elias's title has changed. Rubenstein, another year under his belt.
Brought the dude in from Washington here a couple of weeks ago.
Right, so expansion, more voices in there. But as far as Rubenstein in particular, they spent the money on Sabasayo. So that was this big celebratory contract, not just because you locked up a young star, but it was the first time they've done it in the Mike Elias era, one of the biggest contracts in Orioles history as well, recent Orioles history, that is. So I'm perusing social media here, and I saw Andy Koska tweet this out. Quote, David Rubenstein recently did a podcast interview, CBS News' The Takeout podcast, and he was talking about the Sabasayo contract, and I found this quote pretty interesting. Said here, quote, "We gave him a long-term contract. He's going to be here for quite some time. The price seemed high to me at the time for a person who only played four Major League Baseball games, but he did a great job, had the walk-off homer the other night, and we're very happy with the arrangement." Now, Rubenstein by no means has presented himself as a baseball man. Right? He's a...
Oh, he's pretty much stated that he defers to the authorities.
Correct. A shrewd businessman, though. So, I mean, he has to have some wits about him. But to me, this comment was a little interesting. I don't want to dig too deep into it because I think it... Ultimately, he's happy with the Basayo deal. He signed off on it, obviously. But to say that, well, I thought that was a lot of money for a guy that's only played a few games. Well, that's kind of how it works in baseball. You know, you're looking around the baseball landscape, and the reason that so many Orioles fans were growing frustrated with the lack of long-term deals for young players is because you see it. The Red Sox with Roman Anthony. I mean, I could go on and on and on. The Braves have had tons of success with it over the years. All these other teams have no issues locking up their young talent.
Bobby Witt!
There you go, and a bargain at that.
Jackson Merrill!
Exactly, and I think that's the big thing on top of all of it is that it not only is it the security of keeping them long-term in town, but that these are or should be viewed as bargain deals. You're you know, giving them that contract up front, sort of investing. So Rubenstein, not a sportsman, not a baseball guy, but he is a businessman. So I feel like he should be able to see the parallels here. This is an investment. You're making an investment that you think is going to pay off big time. But where this is a sticking point for me is, again, this whole dynamic between him and Elias, and whoever the new GM is, where does his voice take over? Rubenstein, that is. When say things aren't going the right direction. We get another slow offseason. There isn't a big splash in terms of pitching or just a lack of moves in general. Does he have the ability to then go to Elias, go to the new GM and say, hey, let's get cracking. What's going on? What's the story? You know, I mean, just because he doesn't have that baseball experience, how does he walk that tightrope, I guess, of not having the baseball expertise, but still having to be the end-all be-all, the final voice?
I have two questions.
Sure.
To not answer your question, but who decided to fire Brandon Hyde?
Mm-hmm.
And who convinced David Rubenstein to give Sammy Basayo the money when, as you said, on the whatever podcast it was, that he didn't, he's like, wow, that's kind of a lot of money for a guy that's played four games here, and that could turn out to be a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
But who convinced him to sign off on these decisions? Was it Elias? Does he have that sort of power? Or is it someone within his ownership group that might be going, hey, you know, I'm not exactly a baseball expert. I'm still against firing Brandon Hyde, by the way, because it cost me booze. Did I repay?
You did.
I don't think I did.
No,
did
you paid.
Oh,
paid.
I did? Oh, word. Yeah. I know I didn't pay for something, but I don't care.
Ray in Baltimore?
Yeah. Oh, right. Sorry, Jack Daniels coming, Ray. But who convinced him to make these decisions if he's not the guy?
Right.
Because sooner or later, you got to, you know I own stuff, and just because I own stuff, I think I'm smarter. Hey, I bought a restaurant. I have no idea how to run a restaurant. I'm going to hire my friends to run my restaurant, and I'm going to let them pick their friends to run my kitchen. All of a sudden, your restaurant's out of business in 6 months. Mm-hmm. Who convinced him to make those moves?
Well, for the manager, the firing of Hyde, I'd have to think that at least some voice out of the ownership group had to be a big part of that, because Mike Elias had spent the prior 2 weeks going everywhere and anywhere, anyone that would have him, saying, this is our guy, we stand by him, you know, he's not going anywhere. And those were interviews that Elias sought out himself. You know, he did almost like a press tour, like he was releasing a book. But, you know,
and remember, the day after that he got fired, all the owners were there at that game that night, remember? And it was it Batista or Cano that threw the ball away? It was embarrassing loss.
No, the next day, the day Hyde's last game.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was a terrible loss.
They had lost to the Nationals.
They had like 20 hits and no runs.
Yeah, and then the next day, after they had fired Brandon Hyde, mm-hmm. and Mike Elias was nowhere to be found except for a press release, same with David Rubenstein, the players themselves. Kyle Gibson pitched that day and got his brains bashed in the first inning, who, by the way, has since retired from Major League Baseball. Adley Rutschman looked like he was going to start crying. Like, hey, good luck tonight. Tough L. Oh, by the way, we fired Brandon Hyde, who's had your back since you were called up to the major leagues back in 2000. And they're left to address the media. And then Mantolino's first game, they get clobbered. And he's got to address the media after the game. Mike Elias did when he met in Milwaukee, I believe it was, on that Wednesday. They were on the road, and it was only the people that traveled, the Rocks and the Rich Dubrovs, those sorts of guys. It wasn't a Camden Yards media throng. It was, oh, we're on the road. This is 10 minutes before the game. So explain why you did this again. Manzolino was thrown into a tough spot from the day he took that job, probably reluctantly, too.
Yep. No doubt about it. And he's grown. Tremendously.
I'm cool with Manzo.
There was, you know, the fun we had with the comments he made early on, but
points.
You can see just in his post-game, his pre-game press conferences, there's just a much more comfortable guy sitting there, a guy that actually feels like he has his feet under him, whereas before, I mean, he's flying blind. Even though he's been around baseball his entire life, his dad was a manager, mm-hmm. you know, that you're in that world, you know, and I think a lot of people just assume that, oh, it's easy. He's been around the game. He knows all the guys. It's not like he's an outsider.
He was a player, too. It's not like he was just the bat boy who ascended to this. He was a ball player.
But there's so much that comes with that manager title that you probably doesn't even cross your mind when you're a bench coach or a third base coach. I mean, even just taking heat for losses, fair or unfair. You know, we lost a close game. All of a sudden, your bullpen decisions, now they're under the microscope. Mm-hmm. They could have been the right choice, you know. We could have been sitting in the same spot and made the same decision, but we're going to talk about it the next day.
No doubt. And I like Manzo. Probably not going to get the full-time job, but at the very least, I think he has earned the courtesy of a real interview, not a cursory, hey, we're obligated to talk to you, that he can go in there and maybe get some support from the players. I don't know if it's going to help. We'll see. A lot of names that have been floated out there. Who's going to take over? And as Rich Dubroff said, and I agree, it's going to be a very desirable job for someone that wants to come in and be the skipper of a Major League Baseball team. But do you want to go Stephen Vogt right out of the recently retired, taking over Cleveland, which has worked out well for them, or the Davis Ross in Chicago, which did not work out well for them at all? But when we come back, we're back to the Ravens and a coach that everyone loves. John Harbaugh. We're going to hear from him as he met with the media a couple of days ago. Open locker room today. We got buy or sell. Jim Hunter talks Orioles. NFL launch at 1. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. His Steelers look great in week one, at least offensively, but they're 1-1 because that defense, they don't look all that good.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland, you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.